Thank you for coming. And even though this is a continued meeting from last week, I'd like everybody to join me with the Pledge of Allegiance. Ms. Rudock, can you please read the final tally, please, of the protest vote?
I will. Thank you. The CCSD completed the tabulation of the protests that were received at the close of the October 25th public hearing, and the results were finalized yesterday around noontime. That was November 1st. The total protests received were 3,551. The duplicate protests were numbered 717. The valid protests are 2,266. The majority needed was 2,001. I do have here today
Vacation of the election. The League had two members there during the counting process, and we did not find any irregularities in the counting process. I want to thank the CSD for thinking about the League of Women Voters and asking us to observe the counting of Proposition 218 protest letters. Both Vera Wallen, who is not here tonight, and I were very happy to help with this process. I want to thank the staff of the CSD that worked so diligently and were very helpful in informing us about the issues. The three ladies we worked with were very professional, dedicated to making sure that the results were accurate. They were Kathy Choate, who's sitting over here, Pamela Duffield, and Monique Madrid. The general manager, Tammy Reddick, poked her head in twice to see if we needed anything, but in no way interfered with the performance of the counting. After observing the process and participating in the sorting of the letters, counting stacks of letters that were put in front of us and seeing the number of duplicate letters, it was apparent that there needs to be a standard policy and procedure for this type of situation. I urge you to authorize this before you experience another situation again. Some of the problems that we observed were many protest letters were not sent to the CSD office. A standard letter should have been available at the CSD office or sent by mail to anyone who was eligible to was not signed by a person who was either the owner or the ratepayer, it was not counted. Or, if it was a duplicate, it could not be counted. There were 717 duplicate letters, and that was a heck of a lot of extra work that never should have occurred. Thank you very much.
So staff's recommendation for the Board of Directors today is to receive these results and confirm the count as official that it is a valid protest.
Oh. I'll entertain a motion.
I would so move.
Second the motion.
All those in favor, please state aye.
Aye. Aye.
Hearing none against, the motion carries unanimously. Now, I'll entertain discussion from the board as to what we want to do, given the communities speaking to us in a very eloquent fashion.
This is our topic here.
The community has protested. We've certified it. It's legit. They don't like the rates. What are we going to do about it?
Well, can I suggest, Mr. President and board members, that rather than trying to divine some sort of process tonight, we all take a step back and think about it for a month. And
That sounds generally right, I would say, as well. I would like to make take an action item or tonight, if possible, and Director Chaldicott and I have been talking about this, looking into how where we'll go. And we've come up with thinking that we've heard very clearly that members of the community would like the chance to reviewing the workings of the CSD. So we're suggesting that those of you who are interested in forming some kind of a group and being part of that to come forth and let us know. And we'll arrange for that to happen. I was thinking to ask General Manager if she could prefer some kind of a form application or whatever. Just
we have a general form that we use for PROS commissioners applicants. That
okay.
It's one page. It's simple. I would just need enough time. Probably by Tuesday we could have it up on the website or available in the CCSD offices for folks to pick up.
Okay. So those of you who are interested in serving in this role or taking on this role, if you would look at the website in a couple of days or come by the office, you'll be able to get a form. Okay.
We're thinking in terms that if your interest is, say, financial, say I'm interested in the finances. If it's in the water department, say I'm interested in how that works or something like that, to give us an idea of the area you'd like us to take a look at. That would help us a great deal.
Step back and think about this before we launch into anything precipitously.
I'm not suggesting that we have any control, so to speak, over this group, just allowing people that are interested, and we'll set up a structure how they can do that, find out the information they want. Yeah. It's not a decision-making on our part, or it's not a group that we would have anything to do with their oversight of their decisions.
Yeah, I think the implication, though, is if we start taking applications, then there's some sort of selection process that's mm-hmm. going to occur here at the board level.
Well,
I just think it's too early to figure out what the process is going to be. I think we need to come back in December, have a thorough discussion about how we go forward, and make the decision at that time.
I think, well, I don't know, we'll see what everybody else thinks, but I have the feeling that I'm not sure if the applauding is agreeing that they do not want a citizens group, fact finders. You do want.
Well, we're not. I'm not suggesting we preclude a citizens group, but I'm suggesting that the structure, the process of having people appointed, if that's what we're going to do, what the mission is going to be. How information is going to be imparted to that committee, what their powers, functions, and duties are. I think all of that needs to be thought out. I think we need to speak with people in the community about what their expectations are and then go forward.
Well, I don't agree with that, but whatever everybody else says.
I think that conforms with the way we've put together citizens' committees over the years, the 8 years I've been around here. That's you'll go into it without having some kind of a framework as to how you establish to put the board together. It's, there could be downside if it's just wide open. How many people do you want on a board? How do they meet? How do they and what are they going to be addressing?
I agree with Don. I think if the opportunity was given to me, for example, to apply for something, I'd want to know first what the mission is, how many other people will be appointed, what the qualifications are, if any, and so forth. And so rather than start accepting applications for some sort of committee or commission that has no defined purpose yet, I think would be a mistake.
Well, as an ad hoc committee, we have thought it out, and we do have some. What we're interested in now is finding out is how many people are interested in doing this kind of thing.
Well, doing what?
they want to have an opportunity to find work, look at the workings of the CCSD.
No. Being able to advise staff as to what the community thinks.
What you hear from the audience, I think, is kind of a mixed reaction. I think we need to speak with these people, these folks, our neighbors, our friends. Well, I've been doing it. I had an hour and a half meeting with one of the leaders of the effort to...
go ahead.
As I was saying, I've had discussions with several people in the community over the past couple of weeks. And, I think I've got a general idea about what people want to see, but maybe the other board members need to do the same thing. I'm not prepared tonight to define the mission of this committee. I think I would be in December, and I think that we owe it to those who will be submitting applications to have some scope defined, have some mission defined before we go about this.
With the purpose of keeping the board as undivided as possible, I'll withdraw my suggestion.
I'm just concerned that we don't just, because after the December meeting, we're right into the holidays, so the new year is the next thing that comes along. I'm just concerned that it's almost a three-month period where nothing happens, and I'm not sure if that's productive or not.
Well, my sense is that it's going to take a minimum of 6 months before we get to the point where we're ready to talk about a rate increase again anyway. And now that we find ourselves in the situation we're in, I think the first lesson learned is let's not hurry. Let's take our time.
I was just thinking that
the ad hoc committee, apparently it's Joan and Peter, come to the board with a recommendation in December after... speaking with the community and figuring out what the mission of this commission or committee ought to be.
I have no problem, but I think I would like to allow people to apply just so we have names on file so we don't have to go and beat the bushes at that time.
Yeah, I think it's a problem of applying for what, but...
So everybody said their piece. This is what I think. I think that I've witnessed an incredible process in my community, which I admire and respect. And I want to stand back and I want to give the folks the opportunity to do what they've told us they think they can do. I don't want to. They're organized. They seem united. I see business people, successful business people. I see citizens. I see residents. I see retired people with expertise. I don't think we have to absorb them into the process like Disneyland tours and show them the CCSD. They feel that they have educated themselves. I think they want more time. Let them come to us with the recommendations that they feel they are in a position now to demonstrate.
I think
any and all suggestions as to the following, because this is what I attempted to do. I would love input from my community as to what kind of rates are necessary to, quote, pay the operating expenses of the agency, and this language, by the way, comes from the leading case in this area that I think would be helpful, but I can make a copy of this for those folks who want it. So what I'm looking for is input, and very specific, I want numbers from the community, from the protesters. And remember, I'm a 60s kid. I love protests, and I think it's great. But this is what I would like. I would like some input as to how to pay the operating expenses of the agency, provide for repairs and depreciation of works, provide a reasonable surplus for improvements, extensions, and enlargements, pay the interest on any bonded debt, and provide a sinking or other fund for the payment of the principal of such debt as it may become due. That language is our constitutional burden and what we have tried to carry out unsuccessfully over the protest. So logically, it seems to me, I would now invite all those folks. I know I've heard from engineers. I've heard from finance people. I think even I heard from a banker, a retired banker. I've heard from business people who work with these kind of issues every day. What most of the citizens, if not all, want CCSD to do. That's my thoughts.
As a concept, I think your approach is a good one. The one significant, potentially significant problem is when you start talking about concepts such as operating costs and terms like gross revenues, net revenues, and so forth, particularly as it relates to bond covenants, you get into some pretty technical territory. And I think the board needs to divine a way to grapple with some of these issues that have come to the surface over the last couple of weeks and figure out what the how to present the true financial condition of the district.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a quite a technical area, and there are issues like how staff time is allocated in terms of time spent on capital projects and whether that staff time should be allocated to capital budgets or to the operating budget, whether or not depreciation is counted in terms of the district's obligation to some of these issues over the past couple of weeks. I think there are some concepts that we need to wrestle with to make sure that the financial statements that we're presenting are really reflective of the true financial condition of the district.
Yes.
So to just expect citizens on their own to come to terms with these issues might be asking a little much. If there's a way that we can help them individually or collectively, I think that would be a wise move.
That was really the concept they were trying to approach at the beginning, that we obviously we wouldn't want 12 people each coming in asking for the same information. We'd hope that perhaps two people who have a financial background, for example, might want to come in and go through just that subject. But in addition, there's a lot more subjects, such as the actual plant we have, the water and sewer and so on. People are going to go around and just see whether our plant needs upgrading, that kind of thing, which is technical in itself. So there are many areas which we think would be very worthwhile for our citizens to, you know, get involved in. I think we're all looking at the same thing, which is to get information out to people, and so the understanding is between all of us. It's just the process where I guess we're debating at the moment.
Well, I understand the concept. Yeah. I for one, would like to see some consensus among the board members and the staff for openers about what the we're in violation of our bond covenants. Well, if we're in violation of our bond covenants now, we were in violation of our bond covenants then. And what lender is going to lend us money if we're truly in violation of our bond covenants? I submit that we're not. But we have a we seem to have a split of opinion on that issue. Before we launch into this effort, I think we need to find a way to get at the true financial condition of the district so that at least everybody understands what the rules of the game are as we launch into this effort to have this collaborative, cooperative arrangement with the community.
To me, as a board member, I feel that we've had excellent support and information from our staff, and I had no reason to doubt what they've told us. So, what process were you thinking that we would engage in to find out more than we already know?
Well, I don't want to get into a debate about who's right and who's wrong, other than to say that I doubt that a very thorough job was done in terms of an analysis of the bond covenants that we have and whether or not we're actually in default. I have my own reasons for believing that. I don't want to cast any aspersions, but I do want to get at the truth.
So
that is going to take some time, and it's going to take it may take expertise beyond the expertise that we have here at the district.
A motion which did not have a second.
I withdraw the
motion. The motion.
You know, doesn't say any way we have to do anything. I mean, what I personally asked was just to invite. I think the community is motivated, and they don't have to wait for us to do anything.
No, I agree 100% with what you're saying. The only issue, Mr. President, I think is somehow we need to come to terms with what the rules of the accounting game are and what the true financial picture of the district is. And I, for one, believe that there is a little bit different story to tell than what is reflected in our financial statements.
Why can't we do both? Why can't we pursue what you're talking about and at the same time have the community get involved from their point of view to us?
I don't have any problem with that at all. Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what Cambria's about?
Absolutely.
You know?
Chairman Funky Baloo.
Chairman? Do I look like Mao Zedong to you?
No, I'm the Asian attorney here. I'm sorry. Obviously, the consensus is to get input from the community. That's quite obvious. I think staff's concern is to... as was pointed out, one of the board members, we don't want to take the time and staff time to produce the same information for 10 different people.
I have confidence. I really do. I have confidence in my neighbors.
Well,
I have confidence in my community.
In those types of things.
I really think they do. And I was, frankly, I for one, I'm impressed with how organized they've been. You know, they've worked. They've done the democratic thing. They deserve this victory. And I think they're serious. And I think, why don't we just give them a chance? And I don't think they're going to burden us just for the sheer sake of burdening us. I mean, I know that some of the organizers took time to make the petitions as clean as possible. Yes, there was some duplication, and that's unfortunate. But, they didn't have a lot of time to really get organized. So, we can use this as a foundation to actually do the right thing. And I think we ought to exploit that.
Mr.
The time is right.
Why can't we just start this process and gauge how we're doing in December?
I love that. It's a beautiful thing. I feel love is in the air.
I so move.
I second love. Is that a legitimate motion, Mr. Montandon? I mean,
No.
Can you second love? Is that like?
Well, I move the rather ad hoc concept that you've described. I, well, Okay. Then I'll, if that's the consensus of the board, then I'll withdraw the motion.
Yeah. What's we can vote on the fact that people can do what they want, and I think it's let them do it. That's fine.
That is yeah. fine, but it, yeah. it.
We all support that.
That's good.
In the words of Spike Lee, do the right thing. So can we close it? I have to, you know, working that full time. But he has issues, and I think they need to be addressed. Does staff have a problem with that?
No, we'll give you a status report at the next board meeting, which is about 2 weeks away. Anyway.
I mean, the community wants us to work harder on the finances, so we're just going to have to work harder. That's all. No big deal. That's what I tell my kids.
Well, let me just say, I don't think you can separate the finances from the rest of the district. Everything is, I mean, everything is finance, right? Whether you have a new water line or a new tank or you change the way you do your accounting, it's all money, and we can't separate one from the other.
Right, but it all should be somehow threaded to the new rate
well,
structure.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Right. The question is, what is the true burden of the water fund and the sewer fund, and how much overhead should be allocated to those two funds? My view at this particular point in time is that we're overburdening the two funds. And that has a direct bearing on what the rates are going to be. And it's quite possible that if we allocate costs to the general fund, for example, that are now allocated to the water and sewer fund, we're going to have to make some very tough decisions about what the general fund is going to carry and what it's not. And a part of this process has to be the expense side of the equation. You can't just do a rate study and assume that you're taking a hard look at our expenses in terms of what our priorities are. We haven't done that in terms of the rate issues, and I think we need to do that.
Mr. President, could I interject that I would think that there's going to have to be a startup time for whatever kind of citizens committee that is chosen, and is going to take if they're going to look at the operation of the CCSD and their staff, they're going to need to have a street learning curve in trying to identify and understand how these different divisions interact, because I don't think anybody out there and that has had any, if there are some that have had extensive experiences with a multi-level civic structure, they need to have a background and not come in with a foregone conclusion or just have the idea off the top of their head that sounds pretty good. I think they need a real, a ramp up so that they have insight as to how all these pieces work together. And that's going to be a couple of months.
Well again, that's what we were trying to make it possible so that in some systematic way those who wanted to could come and identify all the pieces of the CCSD that exist and then put them together in the way they want to and give it back to the community. That's what they asked, because somehow you don't feel us as a representative of the community that we can do that for you. You want another group. So we want to do that. We want to make it so it's systematic and you're able to get at the information that you want in a certain way, and that was our recommendation. So
okay, we're starting to double talk. Okay. Double talk, I mean, not to say the same thing that we've said before.
Well, it may be, but I did withdraw it, but it sounds like Don supports this notion as well. I still believe that we should allow people to come forth in a way that makes everything available to them in a way that the staff can present it to them.
It's available for them if they want to.
It is, and look, here's a copy of our February 2006 loan agreement. You cannot expect even the wisest among us to go through this and understand it in a vacuum. These are very technical documents. They have some very precise verbiage that is incorporated into these documents because of requirements imposed by lenders, basically Wall Street.
At least one of our speakers was an attorney. He went through
I understand. I'm an attorney, too. I've been practicing law for 31 years. Oh. I have difficulty with this because I'm not a bond lawyer. Right. We have got to find a way to have for this board before, but for which, in my view, there's not been a satisfactory answer.
But isn't that what we want the community input on before we make our decision?
Okay, if that's what you want to do, then what you're telling the community is, well, go out and hire your own bond lawyer, go out and hire your own certified public accountant, and then come back and advise us, for example, on whether we're close to being in default or are in default under our bond covenants.
That's what they seem to want.
You can't do that. It is our responsibility to establish what the accounting rules are that are going to be applied here, consistent with generally accepted accounting principles. It's our job to solicit advice from bond counsel as to whether or not we're in default under our bond covenants. And we need to do that before we expect our citizenry to come in with any kind of meaningful suggestions.
Well,
you know, I mean, you simply can't just do a Pontius Pilate and say, well, you know, they've spoken, now the ball's in their court, they can figure out what to do.
Well,
that would be a complete and utter abdication of our responsibility. And I just don't want to be a party to that.
Well, I'm certainly not suggesting that. I'm just wanting to have every opportunity to gather all the information. Now, I don't know about the bonds, but we
well,
have
Well, listen,
had
a major impetus for this whole rate increase was,
excuse me
was
a second,
that
I didn't finish
we were in default to have a level playing field, if you will, and figure out what's important and what's not. The financial statements that we publish drive everything.
Okay. I want to finish what I was saying when I don't know about bonds, but I do know that we have an audit every year, and it goes back for 30 years. Is that what you said? You have the audits? And I assume that we've maybe it's not a good company. I don't know, but we've gotten reports on how we manage our money. So
yep.
I'm not sure about the accounting principles, why those are
I'll share with you an email where our auditor is waffling all over the place in terms of whether or not we should be capitalizing certain expenses.
Okay.
And that's a very important issue in terms of the accuracy of our financial statements.
Only you got that email. I didn't get one then.
Well, I'll share it with you.
Okay. Yeah.
I think one of the problems is...
I think we should all have the same information. Excuse me.
One of the problems is that we're talking about this one item, which might at the best represent 10 or 20% of our budget. There's 80% or else, which the layman can understand quite readily, whether we put in new pipes or not, whether we buy a new truck or not. Those are things that most people can understand. And so there's the 20% off the side, which is highly technical and needs a bond counselor to decide. But it's the other part I'm really concerned is the 80%, which is the day-to-day operation of the district and the future plans.
Well, a swing of 20%, for example, would make a difference, entirely make the difference between whether or not we're all of this information, rather than just cutting them adrift by giving them a bunch of paperwork that will take them months to figure out. I think we need to find a way to help them. That's all I'm saying.
Does the staff need any more guidance? Okay, this item is now closed, and we will now go to the public comment portion of the meeting. Ken Butterfield. And folks, if we can limit it to 3 minutes, I'd appreciate it. It's Friday, and I'm being selfish, but I was liberal before the vote, but now that we all know who won, and we want to hear from you. But if you can keep it to 3 minutes, I'd appreciate it.
Excuse me, this is public comment on items not on the agenda.
I don't care. Whatever the people want to talk about. 3 minutes.
Exactly.
I haven't talked to Ken in such a long time. Let me hear maybe he'll say some nice things.
Well, you don't want to hear what I really have to say, but I will
say
this.
That's a two-edged sword, my man.
Pardon me? Oh, I can take it if you can. Anyway, my name is Ken Butterfield. I lived in Cambria for 35 years and followed the district's operations and activities for quite a while. I just want to say I can't believe I was going to agree with two sides of the board, but I do to this degree that I think I agree with Mr. Sanders, but I think that the ratepayers, the people who signed the petition, and either of those should be one should exclude the other. But the thing that just amazes me just now in hearing this from Mr. Sanders that. What did this rate study just cost? $125,000, and you didn't define whether or not we're in default? It's an indication of what I think the people are so dissatisfied with here is that you seem to have lost touch with even your own sense of goals here, which is to serve the public.
I love this name, Bob Gibson. You don't look like the Bob Gibson I remember.
I don't think I am anyways. My name's Bob Gibson. I've had property here for many years, live here, and I'm totally blown away with this whole organization of what you guys stand for, because what everybody has done with this protest has basically said they don't trust you. You know, and you're going back and forth, putting on basically a show that bores me to death. So I don't know how you even got where you're at.
R. Craig Smith.
Hi. Okay, I do not feel that the CCSD should take or pursue this issue of the letter being mailed with the Cambria Chamber of Commerce letterhead. This is an issue for the Chamber of Commerce, not the CCSD. No funds from the CCSD or staff effort should be used on this effort. This issue should not have any effect on the validity of the protest letters, which I guess is mute at this point.
Absolutely correct.
Good. That raises much of my concern. But still, good. That answered my question. Thank you.
Howard Valens. And thank you for keeping everything within 3 minutes. I appreciate that. I say that because I see Mr. Valens coming to the stand.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. My name is Howard Valens. I sat here and I listened, and I've got a proposal for you. One, I would suggest that you assemble a citizens committee, that the citizens committee have a certain number of people on it, perhaps 11 members, and that you, as the board, decide or at least take input from the community that 11 members represent certain types of people in this community so that it's well served. Second, I would propose that in the next 30 days that you conduct, or one or more of the members conduct, an informal meeting with this community so that they can give you input with respect to the parameters of the input that the community wants to give to you. I don't think there's any reason why any of you can't make yourself available, and we can sit down and put together an agenda. So that would be the second thing. Third, I would suggest a document repository whereby the community could designate those documents that it feels are important. Statement for June 30th, 2005 to June 30th, 2006, there is no financial statement that's been made available on the website for the year of June 30th, 2006 to 2007. The community needs to see that. If the community were to just look at the financial statement for June of 2006, they would see total revenues of $4.4 million, and they would see expenses of $4.4 million. You have not defined for the community the need to raise rates as you have proposed. And in order to do that, we need an updated financial statement for 2007, which I think by November it should be prepared for that year. I also think that it would be possible for in the next 30 days for the community to submit letters to one or more of you indicating the issues that should be addressed in this assembly of this citizens committee. I think if you define a parameter, this can work if you give the community the input that they need. But I think in order for it to work, the documents need to be made available for the people here to look at. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Valens, for the constructive suggestions, and I mean that seriously. Frank D'Amico. It's a whole lot better than name calling. Appreciate it.
Well, in that vein, I'd like to thank the board. Today, we are swayed a lot by rumors and innuendos, but I think the board acted today very proper for everyone in the town. We do need a breather, fiscal responsibility, and we would love to get together, and we will put together a group of people and bring resumes and that so that you'll be able to look at that over the next 30 to 60 days. One of the things that I want to make sure that we are focused on, this is a segmented process, I believe, going forward. There's a lot of issues that we uncovered, if you will, or at least been made aware of that we should have been. We should have fault also, is that in our due diligence, there may be other things, but we need to talk about water and sewer rates, and we need to talk about the bond covenants. We need to talk about what's to be included in that. And I think there are enough people with enough background that we should be able to come together and bring a proposed, I'll call it interim water and sewer rates, so that we can face the five-year program that the staff has put together. I mean, other than the $1.4 million for the desal design, all of the works that are in there are all fair and reasonable, I believe, and I'm sure the public will regarding that. So I don't think it's a long process to define what needs to be done for the operating and capital costs. But the bugaboo, which apparently you have yourselves, is what is the necessary reserves to meet the bond covenant? If the bond covenant is not in violation, then you must have them. So there are issues that you need to do. That's an issue between bond counsel, which you should get. There are plenty of highly qualified bond counsels in the state of California. We'd love to work with you. I know there's quite a few people of professional background that would love to be on an ad hoc committee or a citizens committee and to work with you. But I do thank you for the breather time that we should all take to sit back and contemplate what we need to do.
And we want to go home and we want to eat and listen to Bill Moyer, possibly. All right. What I want to say is I'd like to have from you no dangling something like an appeal to the district attorney or something. I'd like to say that this case is closed, that the community has won. Could you please show by a vote of hands that this case is closed, that there is nothing in the lurking behind all this, that the community has been successful in suppressing the rate increase. Could you please do that?
This is not Simon Says. We began.
Yeah, but just be
Mr. Canary, you asked me a question.
Yeah.
I began with no fluff. We certified it. It's official.
Oh, it's official.
I can't make it any clearer than
I did. Yeah, I know, but I'm from Missouri. I want to know really whether it's official. Okay. So if you would all kind of simply get up there and say, yeah, it's official, Mr. Sanders, is it official?
It's official as far as
Mr. Villeneuve, is it official? Funky Blue, is it official?
Third time. It's official.
Oh, from you. Joan Coben, official?
We voted.
And? Okay. No, that's all I want to say. Okay.
Michael Stoddard.
Thank you. Always fun to be here. Basically, everybody
try sitting at this end.
A lot of things that I had a wonderful, fun speech. It would have been fun for me to establish the priority of those expenses. Mr. Frank basically explained our group to you, and we're willing to work for you, and thank you very much. And can't wait to see the big group hug here with this. Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Roach, or Roche, I'm sorry.
Word either way.
How do I pronounce your last name, sir?
Pardon?
How do I pronounce your last name?
Roche.
Roche, thank you.
I'd like to read a letter to you that is very short, so I'll stay within my 3 minutes. I wrote this letter to you, Mr. Ballou, on June 24th of this year with a copy to all of you. It says, as a former chief executive and board chairman of Fortune 500 companies and city and county service organizations, I have always sought and welcomed suggestions that might improve the activities within my charge. Accordingly, the comments that follow are meant to be helpful, and I hope you'll accept them in that light. The Cambrian's front page stories of June 21 highlight Cambria's problems along with projections that they're going to get much worse, namely big hikes in utility rates along with sizable loans, water rate surcharges likely, more work to get an appropriate fire ordinance, continuing questions about Main Street light operation and maintenance, increased garbage rates. What's depressing about all of this is sensitivity and good judgment brought to problem solving and proposals. Business as usual will only get us back to the 90s when CCSD meetings were an exercise in adversity, bedlam, and futility. So my recommendation to you is to take a time out. Defer any long-term proposals and commitments, including long-term employee contracts, until you can put together a team, including independent outsiders, that define critical challenges, set goals, objectives wanted, and search, if necessary, for consultants with the best track record for bringing about the solutions that match your goals and community sensibilities. You have shown in the past that you will make an unpopular decision to do the right thing, and I wish you the best going forward. I think I would add to this now something having to do with how you organize this. And I know that's paramount in all your minds, especially yours, Mr. Sanders. While I was on the North Coast Advisory Council, we operated as an advisory group to our district county supervisor. When she asked us that she had a proposition to make and wanted to know whether the Cambrians would support it and vote for it if necessary, that council then went to work, and it had segmented it. I think my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roche. Barbara Roche.
Thank you. My name is Barbara Roche. I'm not sure where to begin, but since there's 3 minutes, I'll try to focus. The input, Mr. Funkybaloo, that you put forth, that a criteria for a citizens committee, is a wonderful criteria, and I wonder if each one of you could answer that criteria. I think not. I think that the discussions amongst yourselves indicate that there's not a lot of homework being done here by the management committee, the board of directors of this organization. The meeting should not be with the staff. You shouldn't be concerned about the staff's time. The staff has work to do. They have an organization to run. And you have the obligation to manage that organization. The meetings should be with each of you and your time, not the staff's time. The staff has enough to do. It's obvious that now they're taking on extra burdens from the community to provide documentation, et cetera. I would suggest, as has been suggested before, that these documents be available and we can go and pick them up without interrupting the staff in their daily work. And I think they've got enough to do. I've been executive director of nonprofit organizations. I have worked for board of directors before, and trust me, all of my directors worked. I believe that you mentioned, Mr. Ballou, at the last meeting that, well, this wasn't a job. If you want to vote me out, that's okay. This isn't my job. Actually, we voted each of you in to do a job, not to attend board meetings. And I would like to know, as a matter of order, do you need to vote to rescind the proposed rate increase, or is it you don't need to vote on that? All right. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ruth Cairns Baker.
Well, I don't have a lot to say.
Ma'am,
but,
can you lower the microphone so we can hear you?
That Thank better?
You. Yes.
Okay. Basically, I'd just like to reinforce what has been said, that I am very impressed with both the board and the citizenry at being willing to negotiate and to cooperatively solve the problem, which definitely is a challenging one. As far as suggestion is concerned, I have come up with a mini suggestion which may or may not be helpful, namely to provide the community with a regular schedule issue of selection of a community representatives is an issue that needs to be dealt with, and hopefully there'll be individuals willing to serve who represent us and who are very informed, very competent, as I have heard them speak here, and I think that that's an important factor as to how to get together and how to select the people who are willing to do this. I also hope that the attendance will be as vigorous at these meetings upcoming to resolve the issues as they have been in these protest meetings. That's all I have to say about that.
Thank you. Cynthia Hawley.
Cynthia Hawley, Cambria resident, and I just have one thing to say, and that is that if you want to open up the offices for people to come in and see documents, the first thing to do would be direct your staff to provide the documents that we ask for. The process that we go through is if we feel like we're the enemy, we go into the office and ask for a document, and we fill out a form, and maybe you'll get it in 10 days, and maybe you won't. For example, Proposition 218 requires that the district identify the parcels that are being targeted for rate increase. Well, that never happened. We never got that, and we requested it right from the get-go. Have it. So to save money and also just the first step before any committees are formed, just give us the documents when we ask for them. Thank you.
Could we answer that one?
Excuse me?
Could we answer that one because there's an answer about
it. It's a free country. Go ahead.
Proposition 218 requires us to identify the parcels we did. That's how we knew whom to mail the notices to. There is also a provision in the government code that says that account information and utility information is not disclosable under the Public Records Act. That was what was in the letter that was sent out. Actually, I didn't draft the letter. Somebody else did. I approved it. And that is the reason why that information isn't released, because there's some confidentiality attached to individuals' utility records. That's been explained to everyone who's come in the office. And
God, we've been so good. Let's just... Go ahead.
And, you know, as I told people who had called, just to ensure that I was correct, I emailed and got the opinion of four or five other attorneys that do these 218 hearings, and none of them said that these records should be released.
Terry O'Rourke.
Just
finish that.
Yeah, I believe that the whole idea of the confidentiality of the names is because there was a crime against someone because they got the records from a local government office and then went to pursuit with the crime. And this is the reason the law is there, right?
You know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I just looked at.
The other thing is just to comment on the public records. There's a process for that.
The delays, or else we explain why, if there is going to be a longer delay, why they cannot be produced.
Ms. O'Rourke, sorry.
Hi, I'm Terry O'Rourke. I work at Cambria Pines Lodge, and this is in regards to the return address. We were volunteered to put out some labels and mailings. We volunteered to do that for the people that didn't live in Cambria. And the president of the chamber came to my office at the lodge with a rubber stamp for the return address that said the chamber. When I opened the box that I received, I noticed that the Chamber of Commerce return address was already on it. It was done by Frank at Lighthouse Litho. And so I told him graciously, thank you anyways. We don't need your rubber stamp with the chamber. You can take it back. And he said, okay, great, no problem. That's it. I just don't understand the confusion.
Thank you. Norman Martin.
Mr. President, Gonzalez, Cheney. Gonzalez, Cheney. Gonzalez, Cheney. Now, I would like to say, I would like to thank the community and all the hardworking people who got all the petitions and worked really hard to foil this plot for this rate increase. And I'd like to thank everybody. There's a couple of them here. So if I could have some applause for everybody who worked hard.
Elizabeth Bettenhausen. It's too bad you feel that way, Mr. Martin. It saddens me.
No? That's okay. That's okay. Honorable Board, as I called you recently, supervisors, I sent in the correction. I really want to check on just a couple of things and to make sure that the future, however it's played out, is going to deal with them. As you know, I sent you the letter, and I sent you the letter before and the letter before about the relationship among Water Master Plan, Urban Water Management Plan, Long-Term Financial Plan, and the 20-year land use regulations. What capital improvements have you as a board voted on? That's my question. And what are your priorities on capital improvements? I had an overhead, but I won't take time here. I'll just give you a couple of comparisons. I was told when I spoke before to check the Water Master Plan. So I checked the water master plan, and then I checked the long-term finance plan. If I go to the Fiscalini tank, for example, in the water master plan, it's a priority level 3 for $750,000. If I go to the long-range financial plan, it's a priority 2 for $498,000. Getting to paperwork. But you have before you, board of directors of the services district, policy decisions to make about your priorities. And I would like to know, where is the list I've been requesting about the capital improvement projects, when you have voted on them, if you have, where the description is for the money they'll cost, and which description should I believe? And I won't tediously go into all this, because you've got my letters, the staff has my letters, and I even corrected it to the board of directors, and not supervisors, and added today, in fact, the word not in a key place in the building reduction plan sentence that I concluded with. We haven't talked about that all tonight. So when you do your next stage of rate proposals, which we will vote on in Prop 218 again, please be careful when you start the process to let us know what we're going to be asked to vote on. I'd be more than happy to volunteer on all sorts of stuff, like your designation of commercial water users and how that covers, as I said in the letter, the 20% that you say you're giving for the tourist industry in town. But if you've got the high school and the Presbyterians in the commercial, I'm sure many tourists go to the Presbyterian Church, as my mother does. But I'm not exactly clear that that's what the Coastal Commission has in mind. So there are many things for you to attend to in your position, your elected position. I know that this has been extremely difficult for you. It's been extremely difficult for us, too. And the prospect of cooperative work without...
Mr. Funky Ballou, you're doing a great job with my name. Thank you. A couple of people have tried to ask you, and I'm not sure that you understood what they were trying to ask you, to make sure that any kind of investigation on the chamber address or the postal inspection or those things that were mentioned in the newspaper, that those have been closed out and that none of them are being further pursued. And I just wanted to ask you to clarify that.
I'm a defense attorney. I'm not a prosecutor. When anybody in the community wishes to file a claim or a complaint that a crime has occurred, they don't come to me. They submit it to either a police officer or a district attorney's office or attorney general or some prosecutor or law enforcement agency. So that's what I did. I did a little research on my own. I have some questions as to whether any criminal activity occurred, but I'm not the final arbiter. So as far as in my mind, it's closed, which is, and I've said that 3 times already, but I do not have the power to make the ultimate decision. I suspect, based on my limited research, they'll agree with me, but I'm not the one who makes that decision.
Okay, so it is your opinion at this time that the people who you were interrogating, or I maybe shouldn't use that word.
Good.
They're still investigating it. Is that correct?
I believe they are.
Yeah, they are still investigating it.
To determine if a crime has occurred, correct.
So this matter hasn't been closed, and these citizens are still at risk.
Why are they at risk?
Well, if
they didn't do anything, if they didn't do anything wrong, there's no risk. What risk?
Having this hanging over their head is a risk.
Why? If they haven't done, if they've done nothing wrong, where's the risk?
Mr. Funky Ballou.
And Ms. Derashori, I don't know anyone who stepped up to the plate and said, I wrote that letter. I'm the one that's responsible for, I heard Mr. Rourke today for the first time. I never knew that. I think that's That's consistent with innocent activity, but I didn't know that until Ms. O'Rourke.
Well, I think the general manager in the Cambrian today or yesterday's publication said that it had been referred to the postal inspector.
That was done by someone else, not by me. All I did was I wrote.
Oh, was it done by Ms. Ruddick?
I don't think so.
My name's Tammy Rudock,
I'm sorry.
That's okay, and I'm going to defer to, I took advice of legal counsel, and he will respond to that question.
Pursuant to my request, it was referred to the postal inspector. At that point, we lose control of those investigations. We can't help.
Okay. Could we?
Folks, really, I mean, let's just calm down. Ms. Derashori, I'll let you have a little bit more, but the 3 minutes is way beyond. If you have questions,
the rate increases. If we get a rate increase,
pick up the microphone?
Is that better?
I think so.
Okay, right there it says water and sewer rate increases. If we get those rate increases on our water bills, do your you as a committee, do you get more money too?
I don't understand your question.
I'm just wondering if your salary will be raised, too, because you're going to have to work so much to put another O or zero there.
I'm reminded of the line from the movie Treasure of Sierra Madre. Salary? We don't get no stinking salary. No, we don't.
They don't give no badges either.
No, we get a stipend of $100 per meeting, up to 6 meetings a month. That's statutory. It's right in the government code. And that's it.
Okay. Could I just ask? It hasn't changed in the 15 years I've been here.
Kim Eady.
First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody that pulled together. You have Republicans, Democrats, Independents, for the D-cell, against the D-cell, and they're all getting together because they don't trust you. You two are amazing. Going to the postal man, to the postmaster, you're still pursuing it. You're still chewing on a bone. And if you guys are really truthful to yourselves and the community, you'd write a letter, you'd send it to the D-cell.
It's 7 o'clock. Thank you for coming. The meeting is adjourned.
I had a request. Where is it? It was at the beginning.
Excuse me?
It's on a blue form.
I apologize. Tina Dickerson.
I was going to begin by saying how refreshing it is tonight to be in a conciliatory environment. But sadly, because of your action, Mr. Fankenbaloo, and yours, Mr. Montandon, and I don't know, Ms. Ruddick, if you were responsible for this other action to the Postal Service or not, but I find it's anything but conciliatory. And you have really put a black mark on what was a lovely, wonderful evening, seeing the board interact, getting the response from the community. And sadly, this is where we are now. But I also wanted to say this. I would like to thank everyone who got together. I started this all by myself on August 31st. We collected, there were four of us, 650 signatures on a petition. We were then told they were null and void because they were collected before September the 10th when your letter went out. Never mind that the board met August 23rd, and never mind that it was in the paper August 30th. But they were considered null and void, and we accepted that, and we moved forward. So I want to thank all the people. We will get through this. But please reconsider your actions. Thank you.
It's 7 o'clock. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming.